today we'll be beginning Romans chapter 13. Paul has addressed our relationship with God. Paul has addressed our relationship with the church, our relationship with outsiders. And now he's going to address a relationship with the government. He says that every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. God has established the working of government and authority. Let us consider real quickly, who is writing this? As I already said, it's Paul. And what happens to Paul? He is beheaded by Rome. We have no excuse to ignore the commands of Paul here. He lived this out. John MacArthur writes that there is no civil authority, Paul says, except from God. No matter what form it takes, no human government at any time in history, at any place on earth, among any people on earth, at any level of society, has ever existed or will ever exist apart from the sovereign authority of God, because all power belongs to God. I don't think it can get much clearer than that. He says, and those which exist are established by God. Paul says, therefore, the governing authorities which are in place because of God's establishment. The very government which crucified our Savior was placed there by God the Father for that very purpose. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. When we resist authority, we are actually resisting God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. So the design of government is to cause fear for doing evil, not the other way around. So when we choose to disobey God, there's punishment, of course, and God correcting us. Do you want to have no fear of authority? So do you want to live in peace? Do you want to not have to run or to be looking over your shoulder constantly? Then do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Do what is upright and good, following the laws, and you will receive praise. Verse 4, for it is a minister of God to you for good. God places them for the sake or reward of good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Beware, for he also places them to punish those who do evil. Verse 5, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection. It's not an option. We are to subject ourselves to the governing authorities for two reasons given. Not only because of wrath, because if we don't, there will be punishment, yeah, but something more important, but also for conscience sake. Because if we don't, we are sinning against God. Verse 6, for because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very purpose. It is this logic and reasoning that motivates us to pay our taxes. Verse 7, render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. We pay them and we should not cheat. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. We live in a healthy way of fear of the governing authorities as they are placed by God. And honor to whom honor. We, in a healthy way, honor the governing authorities as they are placed by God. We pray for them, we obey them, we do not trash talk them, we conduct ourselves and speak in such a way that we can be witnesses to them about a sovereign God who is good and gracious and willing to save them. Now I will point out a few quick clarifications. Number one, in our obedience, we obey God first. There are times when the government does not function the way that they were designed to function, and may tell us to disobey God, and of course we must obey God rather than man. But in so doing, we do this in a gracious way. When Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I always struggle saying his name, all of them obeyed God and stood for what was right, and yet they were respected and they progressed in a foreign and non-God-fearing land and government, as they refused to eat the king's food and asked that they would eat vegetables. They conducted themselves in a way which demanded respect. The church is called not to make sinful men look better, but to spread the gospel. We don't seek external conformity. We seek internal transformation. It would be like John MacArthur says, having a heart surgeon who switches to be a makeup artist, going from saving lives to making faces look good. No, the church's end goal is not to make our country a Christian country. No, the mission of the church is to share the gospel and see the individuals in our country coming to know Christ and become Christians. And that we do this with respect, as we mentioned with Daniel and his friends. Believers can and should vote for upright morals, to bring men and women in who will do exactly that which the passage calls government to do. But recognizing that Jesus did not bring a physical revolution, he did not come to bring a physical revolution, he came to seek and save that which was lost, and that is the mission of the church as well. In Acts chapter 17, this beautiful statement about God, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. In other words, God is in control. He is the one on the throne. And therefore we obey and we honor and we respect the authorities which he places in our lives, that he might be glorified and for the sake of the gospel.